Human Founder by Gali Bloch-Liran.
Hi, I'm Gali Bloch-Liran and welcome to The Human Founder, the podcast where we speak about the mental aspects of the entrepreneurial journey. Entrepreneurs often describe the emotional roller coaster that is embedded in being an entrepreneur or investor, where you experience the lowest of lows when you are in a relocation and experiencing a medical crisis in your family and your life instantly flips upside down, and the highest of highs when you decide to take your destiny in your hands and break all glass ceilings. And it's from that place of uncertainty, the need to constantly self-manage ourselves, keep up our energy and be mentally resilient in order to deal with everything, well, it's not easy. In each episode, I will be talking to entrepreneurs, investors, psychologists, being their sounding board, with the goal of creating a space for this less spoken about layer, which is the mental aspect accompanying the entrepreneurial journey. I will also share tips and tricks to help boost your focus, clarity, and mental resilience. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Teddy Flato and Adi Baron. Hi, Teddy. Hi, Adi. And it's really, really great to have you here with me.
Happy to be here.
So, Teddy, you are the co-founder and CEO of Wevo Energy. You hold an MSc in electrical engineering. Before founding Wevo, you held executive positions in several startups, including Sayota, Red Vision, and Panoramic Power, which were sold for a combined value of over $450 million. You are happily married with two grown-up kids, one dog, and two cats. Adi, you are the co-founder and CTO of Wevo Energy. You are a Mamram graduate and hold BSc in computer science from Tel Aviv University. Before founding Wevo, you held a senior engineering roles in Precise, Impreva, and Panoramic Power. And you have two teenagers, an amazing husband, we'll talk about him, a dog, a cat, and a chinchilla.
Yep.
Many animals we have here in the family. Before we dive into today's episode, make sure you follow the Human Founder podcast in the app you're listening at. And I'd be happy if you click on the review, follow or subscribe, depending on the platform, and rate the podcast. That way you'll keep your finger on the pulse and be updated right away with all the new episodes straight to your feed. And it will also support the podcast to keep rising at the top. So let's dive in. So first of all, I'm very excited to have you here with me. We know each other for some time and we work together. It's really, really fun to have you both in the session at home or at Zoom and now on the podcast. So I won't tell the secrets, only what you allow me to. But it's really, really great to have you here. And we have so many angles to address today, both on your partnership and both on the exciting news that you'll share and on your journey. So we have many, many topics to cover. So I think that we'll begin in a little bit telling us your journey personally before founding Wevo together, and we'll take it from there. Who wants to begin?
Teddy, go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead, Teddy.
So,
how did it all begin?
First of all, I'm very happy to be here
and
thanks for inviting us. It all began as a teenager. I always knew I want to be an engineer. I was tearing apart all the Walkmans and things that in the house. I had a full drawer full of screws. And so when I was 18, I decided I'm going to go to study engineering, the Technion. And then I did my master's and then served in one of the top secret elite units in the Israeli security forces. And I really liked what I did. And then around the year 2000, the 2000 bubble, some of my friends founded a very exciting startup, Sayota, and they invited me to join them as a head of R&D, even before they raised money. So it was a very exciting journey. Sayota developed credit card security solutions and was eventually sold to RSA Security a few years later, but dominated the credit card security market. And this was an accelerated the training program for startups. We went through all the hypes, ups and downs. Our CEO, Naftali Bennett, and the amazing management team went through the growing up to be a 70 people company and then having to cut the company, going down to less than half, and then growing back again. So this was an amazing experience. I then worked in different companies as mainly a product person.
Mm-hmm.
And often people asked me, why don't you start your own startup? And I always said, I hate what CEOs have to do. Because CEOs have to raise money. They have to deal with all the boring stuff. I like being a product manager. And I like to be a VP products. And I was a VP product in Sayota, in RadVision, and then Panoramic Power. But then, at some point, I realized that I may be a bit overqualified for VP product. Especially when I started seeing the CEOs being 10 or 20 years younger than me and with much less experience. And then I figured it's maybe about time to start something of my own. That was a very, that was getting out of my comfort zone because I knew how to do product management. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that. I was a great product manager.
It was like a one-eye decision or a process that evolved for several years, several months until you decided to go and pursue it.
It wasn't an overnight decision. I think it was a process because I felt that when I went and spoke to founders of companies that wanted to hire me as a VP product, I felt that I'm much more experienced than them. And I felt that it's going to be very hard for me to work mm-hmm. under an inexperienced CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt almost too small. And so slowly, like over time, the realization that I must do something. But there were two questions: what,
mm-hmm.
and who with. And I think we're going to discuss this later.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. So let's see the pose here.
This is a good transit to Adi.
Adi, take us a little bit to your early journey.
So I think my early in software started in high school
mm-hmm.
when I just signed up for the computers class and enjoyed it. And then when I got to Mamram in the army, I immediately felt like I found my spot. And I remember coming back home from the first weekend and telling my mother, I'm so happy there. And everyone knows my joke. Finally, everyone understand my jokes. So it felt just right. I did the Mamram course and joined the Israeli Air Force unit. Been there for about 5 years and then joined a startup founded by some people from my unit named Precise, which did application performance management. I've been there for like 8 or 9 years. And my last role I led, I was the team leader of the infrastructure team, which was the core team of the company. And then I missed coding. I felt like I was managing too much. And I said, okay, my next role will be just coding, and joined Imperva as a developer. And then I felt that I have my opinion. And as a simple coder, it is not heard enough.
Mm-hmm.
So my next step was to find a small company and then be a coder, but I can influence because the company is small, which was Panoramic Power, where I meant Teddy. But then the company grew bigger and I was pushed into the team leading role again, but was fully hands-on. So that was like my dream position, my comfort zone, and we did wonderful things together at Panoramic Power. And one day I saw Teddy is a bit bloomy. So, and I knew that if Teddy is leaving, then the job will become much more boring because he is an amazing product person. And I told him, if you're gonna leave, let me know. I may follow. And then
what I heard is, if you start a company, I'm gonna join you, because I was already thinking about starting a company.
So then, like, one day you come to Adi and you share with her this idea of pursuing your own thing, and it's about time, and you tell her, come on, Adi, join me?
Yes.
Yeah? And you say, I do?
No. I said, okay, I'm going to think about it. I'm going back home, and I'm talking to Barak, my husband, and he says, you must try that. You are capable. You must try it. Daddy is amazing. You're going to be a winning team. You should follow this.
And then we had a meeting. Yael, my wife, my mm-hmm. amazing wife, myself, and Adi and Barak came to visit us. And we sat for an afternoon and shared, like, thought about what it's going to be like. So it was like a family decision for both sides.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And we got the support from the spouses, which is critical.
So before diving into Weaver's journey, so you actually talk about the initiation of this partnership with WinU. And first of all, how much of a background you had together while working for Panoramic for several years together and knowing each other? And how does it feel to work together hand in hand? And that you've brought your spouses, your husband, your wife, for a family meeting, like you said it, to make sure that you all align and you all get along. And it is so smart of you. I wasn't in the picture yet. You knew it by yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's so critical because it's a journey that is so, it takes so much of your time, energy, and efforts. And to have supporting spouses that are together with you in this, and from the beginning, you're matching the expectations of how it is going to work, that is a very, very mature thing to do. And I think that it also comes with the age and with the understanding of life and all the experience that you had from previous times to know how to do this thing. So going back to this day that you've decided to actually co-found Weaver, till today, it's like 2.5 years.
Yeah.
2.5 years. And I'm jumping for a second till this point. So share with me the exciting news. Share with us, share with the audience.
Yeah.
No, you're the CEO.
Together, 1, 2, 3. And
so SolarEdge decided to acquire Weaver, and we are very proud that they made this decision and see the promise in Weaver and in Weaver's team, and see the amazing vision of renewable energies and the way they combine with the EV revolution.
Yeah, I think we have been talking to SolarEdge. They are an investor. They were an investor of Weaver for a year. Both of us have been in discussions with them since, like, for over 2 years. SolarEdge is an amazing company. They were able to do what no other Israeli company was able to do, which is to become a really big mm-hmm. player in the mm-hmm. renewable space. And we immediately felt the synergies because the solar transition is happening now and it's huge. And the next big transition in the energy space, there's actually a few, but one of the biggest ones are electrical vehicles. And this fits very well with solar energy because customers who have solar panels would be able to charge their cars for free. Clean energy, 100% clean energy without putting strain on the grid. But also SolarEdge has an amazing access to millions of customers, residential and commercial, mm-hmm. which is exactly what Weaver wants to target. So mm-hmm. by combining this capability, our capabilities on the EV side and SolarEdge huge market access, I think we can become together a leading company, not just for solar, but also for EV charging. And that's exactly what we're planning to do.
So first of all, congrats, and mazal tov, and mabruk, and in all the languages. And it's very, very exciting on several levels. First of all, your friends, longtime colleagues, and like within 2.5 years to reach such a milestone, it's amazing. It's really amazing, especially in those days that we're living now in Israel. Second, to be bought by an Israeli company that is huge and is successful. This is also a very, very exciting thing. Third thing is you're doing good in the world. You're in the industry of renewable energy. You want to save this planet. You want to do things that really improve our life in here and take care of our planet. So, and you have an amazing team that it's also an amazing thing to see how they develop and how you support them in their development and evolvement. So on so many levels, there are many, many aspects here to this discussion and to this win. And you know that one of the things that we always say is that we have to celebrate the small wins, right? Because it's not every day that it happens and we mm-hmm. really need to cherish it. So if I take you, Teddy, 20, 25 years ago to Sayota, and today to Weaver, what's similar, what's different in the way startups were built 20, 25 years ago and today? Give us some anecdotes.
I'll start with the similarities. Sayota was, as I said,
a great school.
school for startups.
Yeah.
We had an amazing management team, an amazing team, and the ability to scale. Sayota scaled from nothing to 400 million customers within 2 years. The other thing is the strive for excellence. Mm-hmm. We had amazing management members, Lior Golan, Michal Tzur, Ben, Amir Orad, and of course, Naftali.
Michal that later also founded Kaltura.
Kaltura, and Lior is now in Tabula, mm-hmm. and Naftali was our prime minister. And yeah, and Amir Orad was managing very large companies. So it's a
which is also very beautiful to see how tech leaders evolve and do it second time and third time and continue yeah. to contribute to the ecosystem.
Yeah. So I would say the strive for excellence, doing everything right, hiring mm-hmm. A players, looking at the reality in the eye. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I've been in many companies after that, or I see companies that drink their own Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. And Sayota never did that, and Weevil never does that. We always look the problem in the eye, and we don't give ourselves any discounts. Mm-hmm. I think what's different is the atmosphere. Sayota was founded in 1999 at the height of the mm-hmm. high-tech bubble. Mm-hmm. Money was not an issue. We spent like crazy, we grew like crazy, and we initially, before the 2000 collapse came, we didn't really think about revenues. It was all about how much we mm-hmm. can spend, how fast we can spend. The more we spend, the more investments.
Mm-hmm. More growth mindset. And
it's
less,
not even growth.
Not growth mindset. It's like to...
It was... 2099 was the date where the more companies spent, mm-hmm. the more they could raise. Mm-hmm. Not even revenues. Mm-hmm. And then came the 2000 bubble, mm-hmm. and our investors basically told us, we're going to invest. There's a big story how Sayota was able to raise another $13 million, but it resulted really a reality check of cutting, firing, I think 60 or 70% of the company. And that is something that was etched into me mm-hmm. For life. So when we started Weevil, we were very, very, very careful about expenses and how we grow. And we can speak about that in a second.
Very lean, very lean, economic space.
Very economic.
Very humble.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because of the trauma mm-hmm. of firing. I had to fire myself, I don't know, 15 people in my team. Mm-hmm. And that was really a very hard day. Mm-hmm. After that, Sayota found its niche, product market fit, and grew. But that is something that was very different, at least in the initial stages of Sayota. Mm-hmm. So I think what I try to do is take the good things about Sayota and other like RadVision, Panoramic Power also. Like it feels like this is my first startup as a founder, but it's as if 30 years prepared me for that. Mm-hmm. I've done R&D and product management. I was involved in acquiring companies and selling companies.
Always you touched everything.
Yeah.
All the aspects of
yeah. So I like yeah in Panoramic Power Centrica. Panoramic Power got acquired by Centrica. In Centrica, mm-hmm. I was brought by the acquisition team to consult on acquisitions. So I saw a lot of companies, mm-hmm. And I saw what resonates with investors, what doesn't resonate with investors. And so it feels like my whole life basically prepared me for the moment of starting a company. But I didn't realize that until very recently, mm-hmm. because I was so focused on being a great product manager and raising the product that when we took the time, it was very clear to me what needs to be done. And then Adi really compliments me. Mm-hmm. In all the things I don't do well.
So wait, before you go to Adi and before I'll give the question to Adi, I want to add on this direction. So being a CEO of Weevil, after seeing so many things in your career, what kind of CEO are you? What's important for you? How do you see managing startup these days, healthy growth, leading like later on to M&A? How do you see your role as a startup CEO? Because there are many, many angles, the many ways to be CEO. How do you see it? And like, you have time to think, how do you see the CTO role?
So we spoke about it with Adi when we started. One of the first thing we did is to mm-hmm. define the company culture in writing. Like mm-hmm. we wrote
The values.
The values of the company. Mm-hmm. And most startups don't do that. They grow up and then they realize they hire somebody and to... Being in so many environments before, I thought that defining the company culture is one of the most important things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the most fun things because then you get to create an organization that reflects your beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk about it, but we created a small manifesto, one page, five bullets of what is Weevil. The second thing is choose the right partner. And we can talk about that as well. And I didn't even realize when Adi and I started to... So when we start talking to Adi, I knew Adi is going to take care of the technology. She's one of the most brilliant software engineers I've seen in like top three.
First woman.
You have that, Adi.
And I knew she's going to... take care of the technology side.
So values, core values, great co-founder.
Yeah, but I want to say something about the co-founder.
Yeah, okay.
It's not, so that's why I thought it's going to be a good idea.
Uh-huh.
What I didn't realize is how much she's going to influence on the values side and on the founder side and on the working with me. Because I have my...
Blind spots.
Mm-hmm. And Adi really covers them and helps me. As I did a post recently on LinkedIn so that mm-hmm. Adi makes me a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true because she really helps me avoid my own pitfalls. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I will owe her for the rest of her life. Of my life. So that's the core values, great founding team, mm-hmm. and then employees. One of our core values, one of the first or second one, is we hire A players. And as you grow, you need to have also, like, not everybody is A player, but when you start a startup and you're small and lean, you need to have people that are committed, that are exceptionally good at what they do, and that are team players. And we really follow on that. And I believe today we're not a big company. We're 20 mm-hmm. or so. But each and every one of the players is an A player. And so those are the three things. Then comes the product, then comes the idea, then comes the daily stuff. But once you have those three
definitely
set up, everything falls into place.
Before this comes the support from home.
Yes, we spoke about it.
It's together. It's together with that. So thank you for that. And I'll dive deep a little bit later. Adi. How do you see your role as a CDO in Weevil? How do you see your leadership style?
So I think in general, I'm a problem solver. So I see a problem and then I find the solution. Same in tech. I don't look for technology. I look for the issue and then how to solve it. And I think that as a leading manager in the startup, that's also my role. I see all the, as Teddy said, some blind spot and trying just to support and solve the issues, even it's the product or the R&D team or the sales issues or the operations issues, just trying to support everyone. Because I think, at least in Weevil, we're not a startup that is followed by finding a cool tech, but solving an issue. And that's how I see my role currently.
So I'm taking this to the next question and let's dive deep a little bit about your relationship as co-founders. I'm not sharing anything. It's only what you choose to bring inside. But you really are completing each other's with your strength and the way you behave and do the way you can feedback each other's. Take us a little bit deeper into how do you make it happen? How do you sustain a good, nurturing co-founder relationship? How does it evolve?
So when we started, we worked, I think, for about 5 or 6 years together, but as product and R&D, which is usually fighting.
Mm-hmm. All the clashes.
But we highly appreciate each other. And I think personally, but mainly
professionally.
Professionally, yeah. And then I think one of us, I don't remember if it was me or you, said that it was as if we were dating. And now when we started Weevo, it's the first trip abroad, which is also always a milestone if a relationship breaks or success. So it was very intense, of course. And it took some time to find the fine tunings and find the right codes of how to be able to help each other know that it's time, I don't know, to calm down or to reset or whatever. But I think that from the very first step, we were very open with each other and created between us an atmosphere that it's okay to say everything, really everything, and everything is on the table. There are no secrets, there are no secret thoughts. And I think that's the key for everything.
One of the things that is most important for strong co-founders team is the trust, the personal trust and the professional trust. And I can definitely testify and say that it's so strong between you, even if you disagree, even there are small fights about frictions, about different decisions, you have such a strong trust between the two of you that even if someone needs to think or rethink about a decision or something, later on there is so much respect and so much understanding of each other. And this is the basics, because there are so many decisions to make. When we're in a startup, we won't always think the same about the different things, but as long as we trust each other, and as you mentioned, we have a clear and open communication about everything, this is really the way to overcome all the small obstacles that can later on become like huge. Teddy, how do you see it?
It's trust, it's appreciation, and it's transparency. So this is one of the smartest people, not just coding, one of the smartest people for life that I know. One of the highest EQ that I know.
Look, look at their eyes. Look at their eyes. You have a video. You have to look at their eyes. Every week I talk to them. In those moments, they look at each other. It's like, it's amazing to see.
and common sense. And so, speaking about transparency, when we started the company, everything was equal. Like we started 50-50. Then when it came time to invest our own money, the opportunity was for both of us to put the money. Hiring, we always do hiring together, hiring decisions. And I basically adore Adi. Okay, I think she's an amazing person. And I feel very lucky to have you with me. I'm not just saying this to sound nice. And I think the combination of us is very, very powerful. And the reason is that each one brings to the other things that they're lacking. I think Adi brings to me the common sense and looking at things less emotionally, because I tend to be sometimes very emotional, as people who worked with me in the past know. But she
balances
this and make sure that everything, and I think maybe this is for Adi to say, but I think what I brought to the relationship is the ability to take Adi out of her comfort zone. So
yeah, to dream.
Not to dream, but to maybe to allow yourself to dream.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I meant.
And I think at the beginning I was more experienced in startups and raising money and funds and VCs. And Adi almost felt that, maybe you can talk about it.
Well, I felt like a fish outside of the water, totally. Felt uncomfortable with the situation we were having, going to raise money. I was hiding in the corner. And then I think I'm not hiding in the corner.
You're not hiding anymore. Yeah. Yeah. So, and you even come up with very, very, very creative ideas, right?
Yeah. Adi was able to solve some of the biggest while negotiating our deal. I think some of the most innovative ideas of how to make everybody happy came from Adi.
Now you're blowing up our secrets.
They'll know to whom to come first next time.
Yeah.
But tell me, it's like for the listeners, so you're so good together. and you respect and cherish each other so much, why did you feel that you needed space, for example, with me to speak about things and to share things? Because you're strong together.
I think we needed someone from the outside to help us fine tune things, especially the hard moments where each of us see things different and is not able to see the picture from the other's person eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that it creates a pause within the day that we must speak about things because there's time in the calendar and we can't say there are more urgent things to handle. Because actually this is one of the most urgent things, if not the most. But it usually, it's the easiest one to say, okay, not now. Now I'm gonna make another deal happen.
Yeah, I think we're painting a very rosy picture. And mm-hmm. I think overall mm-hmm. it's very rosy, but even in the rose, there is some black spots or bugs mm-hmm. that you need to take care of. And so if you zoom in, there are always some things that needs to talk. And mm-hmm. maybe this is a place for us to force us to basically confront those issues and resolve them.
Definitely. And I raised it to show and to for the listeners that even when things are good and working and we have really strong partnership together, we always need this time together as co-founders to digest things, to walk things through, to expand the way we look at things, our consciousness, and not take things for granted. It's really, really crucial to have, because like you said, Adi, the first thing is like to do other things. We have a tendency like to delete this meeting from the calendar. We have more crucial things to address now. But having this space for the co-founders together to talk strategy, to talk about their feelings, to go, you know, with the obstacles and communicate about things, it's really, really crucial for the success. Teddy, take us to Boston. You used to live in Boston for a year with your family, 2 years. And many founders, when the company grow, etc., and they go to open a site, a new site, a relocation, and it seems like the brightest dream sometimes, but not necessarily. And I'd like to take your note, your experience a little bit about the hardships that you've experienced there. And this is also something that is also part of the entrepreneurial journey that people not necessarily speak about because they think it's only shining. We're going to live in another place. Our children will have another language. But there are so many difficulties also. It's so complex to relocate. So share with us a little bit about the difficulties that you experienced there and what was the decision.
So first of all, this was not
in
Weibo. That was in RadVision. So
like 15 years ago, approximately.
2006. Mm-hmm. So when I was in RadVision, I was a product manager and RadVision acquired a company in mm-hmm. New Hampshire. And I relocated with my family to Boston area, Bedford, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my dream. Like it was, I grew up as a kid in California, and then I wanted to spend some time with my own family in the US to basically enjoy a different culture, enjoy different life. And it was amazing for about a year. My wife found a job, my kids went to school, everything was fine. And then one night my parents came to visit. And then one night, after a year and a half, I get a call from my sister. You must come home to Israel. Our dad is dying. That out of the blue. I think that was, I don't remember, it was November, December, January, but it was, I remember there was snow outside, mm-hmm. like a few feet of snow. And I was sitting there saying, okay, what do I do now? I need to take a 12-hour plane to go see my dad was dying, and what do I do with the kids, with my wife? And basically I booked a flight the same night, left the family there. And yeah, my dad was very sick. He eventually got out of it, but remained paralyzed from neck down. And so I stayed in Israel for a while. A week later, my wife and kids showed up, said we can't we can't stay there anymore. We need and we stayed here for about two, three months until mm-hmm. my father was stable. Then we went back to finish the 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I ended up getting back to Israel to take the VP product role in RadVision. And it's a decision I don't regret until this day because I am very, very happy about the time I was able to spend. My father lived after that for about 10 years. I spent time with him. I still spend as much time as I can with my mother and the family and my wife's sisters. And so
going back to values, right?
Yeah, yeah. I've never regretted this decision. Yeah, I think that was the lowest, like that moment where I didn't know what to do and I felt my entire everything I ever all the things that you trust and know.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents are basically he wasn't when this happened he was I think 64.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly my dad, who was always this strong trustable figure, suddenly he's very ill. And that basically shook my world for a few years until mm-hmm. I got back to be the normal me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's. But overall, the relocation was amazing. There were amazing people there. We there was a company that I was working with in New Hampshire with great people. But yeah, the family, the distance from the family was really, really hard.
Life happens when we experience all yeah. those experiences, and it's very complex, like to adjust and to handle everything. And each time anew, in each phase, we need to ask ourselves internally, how do we feel? What are our priorities? How do we manage the situation now? And it's never easy. It's never mm-hmm. easy. And each stage brings along new things. Adi, when I look at you, CTO, senior leader, tech leader, women, what things would you like to say for younger women that now in tech and want to develop and the imposter syndrome or the fears or the things that you've handled with and to see where you are today? And it's only like, it's only a stage. It's going far, far away. It's only the beginning. So what like key messages do you have to share on this perspective?
I think it's easier nowadays than like 25 years ago. But there are still rooms that, technical rooms that I enter and I know that I must say something really smart so people will understand that I'm equal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Daddy always agree with that. But that's the way I see it.
Mm-hmm. What can help to youngest women in tech?
Just know that you know what you're doing. Know what you're doing. That's it. And do it best. And people see that. People see the outcome. So the results. And then they appreciate women as well. Same as men.
If I may add, is like believing in yourself.
Yeah.
Believing in yourself all the time. And also that there is no one way to do it. You can bring like your style, your energy, like the way you see things. And when you believe in yourself, you can really make it happen.
Definitely. And I think we bring as women that different energy and a different point of view and an environment with much less ego and much more teamwork and results driven.
And you just mentioned like a couple of weeks ago that in Weevil you have more than 60%, right? Women working in the company?
In the management.
In the management. And it's amazing.
In R&D, I think it was 70% of R&D.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
so tell me the day after tomorrow with Solar Edge, and it's like moving from being your own small startup to actually be part of a big global public company. How does it feel? What is your dream? What is the next step?
So first of all, Weevil stays Weevil. And that's important to say. The way the deal is happening, we are continuing to act as a standalone company, delivering on our values to our customers. So day one, nothing changes.
Mm-hmm.
However, being part of such a successful company means that there's a lot I would say you can dream bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As a startup, your dream is to, Weevo is a software company. Our dream was to get, like what we presented to investors, was to get to the $200 million company in 2030 with SolarEdge, with the way their market reach, with their hardware and software capabilities, with the very smart people, strategic people there that have a much bigger view of the world, we can allow ourselves to dream much bigger. And it feels like SolarEdge and the management team is really supportive of that. And I think we're going to hear some very, very, over the next few years, we're going to see some amazing stuff that's coming out. And we're going to be very happy to be a small part of that.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Guys, is there anything else you would like to share before we hit the pause button? Something important that I didn't ask you that you want to say?
Just that we are very happy to be here, Gali. Thank you. And we are very happy to have us in our lives.
Thank you. And I'm very happy that you came here and the journey that we're going together, and to Barak and to Yael. And it's really a big, big win. So thank you for being so busy with the deal and everything and making the time. I had a great time talking to you. To our lovely listeners, we're going to hit pause until the next episode. That's also something I say to the entrepreneurs in my clinic in between sessions, right? You can tell. If you enjoyed listening, I would really appreciate it if you share the podcast with people who you think would derive value from it. The Human Founder Podcast can be found on all leading podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, Google. You are invited to subscribe and follow us, and to be the first to hear new episodes, please mind to rate the podcast so others can enjoy it. Thanks to the amazing studios at Google for Startups. Feel free to visit my website at galiblochliran.com and leave your details there if you wish to be updated and learn more about the mental aspects of the entrepreneurial journey. I forgot to ask, if someone wants to contact you or to have a career opportunity, etc., where they can find you?
So
and he likes LinkedIn.
Yeah, we're LinkedIn, both of us. The company is www.wevo.energy. And you can always send us to info@wevo.energy.
You like smart and humble people.
We like smart and humble people, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Let's hit pause. Till next time.